We're dropping in now to learn about Wisconsin's livestock facility siting rule here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The rule creates a uniform set of standards and regulations of livestock facilities to be used by local governments for new or expanding farms. And the state ag department held 6 public hearings in recent weeks to gather comments, but some ag industry groups say the proposed changes could force some farms out of business. So have you heard about the livestock siting revisions? What questions do you have? What confuses you? Are you a farmer looking to expand? Do you have concerns? We're at 800-642-1234. Sarah Walling is administrator of the Division of Agriculture Resource Management at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sarah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
So explain what our state's current livestock siting rules are.
Sure. So our current livestock facility siting rule was created in 2006. And like you said, it provides a set of standards and a process that local governments may use when they choose to regulate livestock facilities at the local level, with the goal, as you mentioned, of providing uniform local regulations for those livestock facilities when they choose to expand or site a new operation.
So what might some of those provisions look like? What might be some of those rules that these farmers have to follow in terms of livestock?
Sure. So a lot of the aspects related to livestock facility siting is, of course, as it says, is where it's sited on the landscape. And so the setbacks related to where those facilities, like manure storage structures, et cetera, need to be placed from neighboring property lines, as well as other considerations related to agricultural performance standards, like the nutrient management standard, tillage setbacks, et cetera. So a lot of those are consistent among a number of our regulations in the state that oversee livestock operations.
So the rules came around in 2006, and your department has been doing some of these public comment period over the last few months to revise the rules. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So as you said, we've held 12 actual public hearings across the state in 6 separate locations during the month of September and August. And through that process, we've received over 460 comments written, as well as 161 folks that came out to provide verbal testimony at one of those hearings. The rule revision that they were coming in to give us comment about really attempts to update the 13-year-old standards in order to help be consistent with those of other agricultural regulations, modify the standards based on recommendations of 3 technical advisory committees that we held over the course of the last 13 years, and then improve the implementation process at the local level.
And it sounds like setback regulations are the one that people are really zooming in on as perhaps a form of, somewhat controversial. What about setback?
Sure. As you mentioned, yes, the main changes in the rule really focus on the setbacks of those livestock facility structures from neighboring property lines. But in relation to that, it really is moving us away in the 2006 version of the rule from the use of an odor score that is determined by an odor model that helps define how far from a neighbor's property line a structure like a manure storage lagoon can be placed. We're moving away from that and more into a system of distance-based setbacks that increase based on the size of the operation and the number of animals that it includes.
So does it cause confusion, though, and add work for farmers and municipalities if the state regulations are more strict than the local government regulations?
So the local government regulations are, they can always be less stringent than the state standards, but the state standards are there to, establish the ceiling for those. So local units of government at this point are not allowed to be more restrictive than what the state guidelines would lay out for them. So while I do not anticipate this will actually cause more work, it certainly sets in place a little bit more predictability, in our opinion, for the placement of expansions or siting certainly of new livestock facilities, because the odor model really kind of a bit of a moving target. This provides a little bit more predictability because the standards and the setbacks are really set in place through this rule. So there's a lot less confusion about what the requirements would be when a livestock facility chooses to expand and is trying to locate a new or expanding manure storage pit on their facility, for instance.
Oh, because like odor can be subjective. One person can smell something, another person can't, or that odor can change due to the wind.
Absolutely. And there is the ability for those setbacks to be reduced if the farm chooses to include any odor mitigation practices that could that have been determined scientifically to reduce the amount of odor generated from those facilities. So that setback can decrease if they choose to go that route.
We're talking about Wisconsin's livestock facility siting rule, proposed changes on the horizon with Sarah Walling. She's administrator of the Division of Agriculture Resource Management at the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Your questions, your concerns, welcome, 800-642-1234. So we've heard 11 groups throughout the state, Sarah, including the Dairy Business Association, the Wisconsin Farm Bureau, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. They all signed a joint statement in opposition to these revisions. What is your response to their concerns?
Well, it's difficult for us to predict all the impacts that these rule revisions could have. And we certainly understand that in particular the proposed setbacks may have some impacts in some communities and on the ability of certain farms to be able to expand in place or potentially site new operations. But it's also extremely important to note that currently permitted farms or farms that are located in places that choose not to adopt livestock facility siting at the local level would not be subject to these new standards. They're certainly not subject retroactively, and the changes would only impact a farm if it ever chooses to significantly expand in the number of animal units or site a new operation in a place that has chosen to adopt livestock facility siting at the local level through an ordinance.
So as you had this public comment period and you received hundreds of written comments, what concerns did you hear from farmers? What were some of the common threats?
Sure. Well, as you said, we've received a lot of comments. And one of the things that we take very seriously at the department is our public hearing process. And so we will comb through each and every one of those comments and digest them as we make considerations to move forward with a final draft. But, of course, the concerns are from farmers that are concerned that they have plans to expand, in some cases large expansions, in some cases fairly moderate. And so they're concerned about how these setbacks would impact their ability to add more animals to their operations as they grow and add their, their family members into those operations over time. And we're certainly listening to each of those, but we're also listening to the rest of the comments that we've received as well from neighbors of these livestock facilities, in some cases that have been there 20, 30 years and are concerned and frustrated with the level of odor and other, nuisances related to some of the operations.
So what happens next for these rule changes? Where does it go from here?
Well, again, we're in the process of reviewing all of those comments and taking them into consideration as we draft a final proposal that we would like to take to our board in November. We will be taking an overview of the comments we've received to our DATCAP board on Thursday, just to give them an overview of what we've been hearing. Should they choose to approve our rule in November, it would move on to the governor and then ultimately the legislature for the process to continue where it hits the House's ag committees and then the other components of the rulemaking process at the legislative level.
Well, Sarah, we only have a few seconds left, but some ag groups, business groups are concerned this will hamper livestock growth in Wisconsin. Do you see a possibility?
Well, it's difficult for us to say. The expansions have continued over time, certainly, as our agricultural industry has evolved over the last 13 years, and this rule is really attempting to just step up and be able to accommodate the types of changes in our agricultural operations that we are experiencing today. I certainly hope that this rule does not discourage livestock farming. Certainly our intention is just the opposite, and it's instead to provide some consistent regulations that local governments can use when they're making siting decisions.
Sarah, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Sarah Walling is administrator of the Division of Agricultural Resource Management at the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And just after 4 on Central Time, you can hear another perspective about these proposed changes. Rob Ferret talks with a representative from the Wisconsin dairy farmers about why they feel this could hurt the state's egg industry. That is after 4 on Central Time. Just ahead, spices. There's so many of them. How do we decide which ones to use? We'll talk about it. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.